Well, we've had all kinds of fun with the printer, so I'm going to do my sermon off a laptop. Hopefully, it'll work. I've just got to put in the code. Phew, there it is. Okay. But before I start, I just want to reflect on the Los Angeles fire. I'm sure we've all seen just about an entire city wiped out. It's not just homes, it's businesses, it's institutions like libraries, councils, museums, services such as fire brigades and hospitals, nursing homes, churches as well, many churches. And we often wonder, what is happening? Why God? Why is that? Reflects back when, as a child, my own home was burnt down. And you wonder why. But over time, our family found a great love and care and compassion that outpoured toward us. And I know that though we cannot fathom the depth of something as tragic as this, we can know and trust God in the middle of that, that he will do a work. And you know, I watched some of the videos, and in those videos where people were filming, they were also praying as well, almost automatically. They weren't thinking about it. They were going, oh God, help me, God, you know. And he is there in the midst. He is there. And it's only over time that we will see answers unfold and see also the grace of God, if we look for it, unfold as well in the midst of such a great tragedy. So I want to talk about today about two baptisms. Because two baptisms are mentioned in this reading. First of all, Jesus comes to be baptized. In the readings of Acts and Luke 3, we're introduced to the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When John the Baptist spoke to Jesus, he points out these two baptisms. The first is a baptism of water, which symbolizes repentance. And the second is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that comes to us because of our love and obedience in Jesus Christ. Jesus did not need to be baptized, but because he was human, he demonstrated his obedience to God. He came into complete unity with God's divine purpose and mission. This is why the presence of the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And God says, in you I am well pleased. This act of Jesus calls us all that in repentance we are expressing our obedience to God the Father. That we submit to his will over our lives, and this is the way for God through the Holy Spirit to be our spiritual strength. Jesus actually submits himself to God, and this is what the baptism in water is also for us, so that we can say not just, God, I repent of my sins, which is important, but we're actually saying, God, I submit myself to be obedient to your will. You know, that is such a significant part and such an important part of our baptism. The Holy Spirit is the one who God sends to be our advocate. And in today's IT terms, this would mean he is our enabler and our influencer. Asher, you'll have to correct me here. I'm going to talk about what an enabler means in computer terms. You might be able to. So, in the computer world, an enabler is something that provides networks for users to log into. In other words, they enable others to access data or information that can guide the user in sourcing or sharing information. And this can enable the user to create sites. And our website server is a form of an enabler. But so are sites like Google, YouTube, and FaceTube, and the myriad other ones that come to mind. And this is where information can be accessed and shared or administered. Thus, God has established us a provider that links us into God's internet, his spiritual website. He sends the Holy Spirit to guide us through the labyrinth of life to give us an ever-growing innate knowing about God and his purposes he has for us. Not only this, but the Holy Spirit is our protection because God embeds the Holy Spirit within us, and he is like the firewall that prevents misinformation, like deceptive theology, into their posts, or he sends by sharing the posts to their friends. I've just dropped a line here. So he protects us from viruses such as sin. This is the firewall. I just want to share something about a friend of mine years ago when I just started apprenticeship. I went into the North Sydney Tech, and there was a guy, I got there early, but there was a guy there earlier than me. And he was sitting at the back, and lo and behold, he was reading his Bible. So I went up to him and I said, "You believe in that stuff, do you?" I want to see how fair dinkum he was. And he said, "Yeah, he did." And he shared with me that he found it hard to understand the Bible, though. And I said, "Yeah, I did too." And we talked about that. And I said, "I actually asked God through the Holy Spirit to help me understand the Bible." And I came to a place where I realized that the Bible wasn't just a set of stories. When you looked at the story, there were principles that God wanted me to adapt and accept. And suddenly, as I began to read, these things kept jumping out at me. And we shared, and we decided to pray together, and I prayed for him, just the two of us in tech. I was only 18 then. And the next week, lo and behold, he comes to tech and he's jumping up and down. He says, "I was reading the Bible, and I never saw this before, but this is what I saw." And he's sharing me something that it was profound to him, you know. And so we were sharing about that. And each week he'd come back and he'd share with me other stories about, you know, things that were really relevant. And something was happening in his life. And it was like the Holy Spirit was giving him revelation as he read the Word of God. So important to read the Word of God. But he was seeing something very different than just a bunch of stories. Just the history. And God was showing him, and his life was actually beginning to change. God did it. We just prayed together. The rest was the Lord in his hands. But in the computer world, there is also the influencer. And the influencer puts up posts. Is that right, Asher? You might see it, you know, on Facebook, where, you know, someone's got lots of followers and they're called influencers. And they are bloggers. I think that's called a blogger, is that right? I have to keep on getting affirmation from Asher because I'm not that savvy with all the terms. But a post can be various sizes of pictures, videos or information that attract followers. And followers are people who have either ticked the like box or registered that they would like to receive more posts from that site. And we've got it there. Thanks, Asher. Depending on the nature of the blogger, they can be a source of inspiration to the followers, and thus they become an influencer. The followers in turn tell others to log into the post and send by sharing the post to their friends in the internet. And so the influencer gathers more followers. You with me on that line? So the Holy Spirit is God's appointed influencer. He posts blogs in our hearts about Jesus that inspire us. We call this revelation. As we choose to follow these Jesus posts, we come to know God in a deeper way. As we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit leads us in our lives so that the Bible becomes alive and we apply the principles in it. Therefore, we grow knowing more and more how much God is actively involved in our lives. Isn't that great that we actually begin to see how God is active in our lives? And of course, our following becomes deeper and deeper. So we cannot ask for any greater influencer than this. And it is He that makes our minds, our hearts and our souls have a confidence, an assurance that we belong to God and that Jesus is our true Redeemer. Just after the reading we had in Acts 8, a man called Simon saw the change in the Samaritans who received the Holy Spirit and offered to pay for it. He thought he could use the Holy Spirit to his own advantage. So here we see someone outside of the Christian world sees these people, a real change in these people. So he goes to Peter and John and he says, I want this. How much? I'll pay for it in my life. But what he gets is a rebuke. And Peter and John actually tell him, repent therefore of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. The principle of baptism, we repent first, and then our hearts are open to receive from the Holy Spirit. Perhaps he will forgive you for your intent of your heart. Well, he did repent, actually. It doesn't say what happened after that. He just said he repented. God is not a thing to be used for selfish gain. And the Gospel of John puts it this way. The Spirit of truth, the Word, the world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you do know him, for he abides with you and will be in you. And Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. And I will come to you, and in a little while the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And he says, you ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. I will ask. And he will give you another advocate. It's a bit fun reading this off the internet, off the page, because things move on me. And he will give you another advocate, and he will be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And an advocate means a person who publicly supports and recommends a particular cause on your behalf. In this case, the Holy Spirit supports us on a very particular course of God's salvation and recommends our hearts to God. The Holy Spirit is our second baptism, meaning in order to obey God's will, God gives us the enabler, the Spirit of Truth. Let's face it, we do stuff up. But it's God who downloads in us the Holy Spirit, our help in times of need. I do not know about you, but I know I need God continuously. I'm not perfect, and I know that my strength comes by the Lord in my life, not because I'm trying to do good stuff, but because his presence is with me. So those who ask Jesus, he promises that he will send the Holy Spirit. The disciples laid hands on the Samaritans' heads and prayed that they would receive the Holy Spirit. Those who have been confirmed, the bishop lays hands on you and you receive the Holy Spirit. If you have found that you need to reboot or reconnect into the Holy Spirit, he will respond to your heart's prayer. He has not left you, but will respond when you call on him to be present in your life. It's like anything. When we learn something new on a computer, it's like to navigate a site there. You know when you first go into a site on a computer and it's really difficult? Heather actually, I'm going to pick on Heather. You know, text, when they first came up on mobile phones, Heather looked at that and said, my hat, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to use that. Well, what happened was now she texts her friends and everything. You know, as you get used to something, you become familiar with it. So it is with the Holy Spirit. So it is that as we learn to be attentive to the guiding of the Holy Spirit, we become more familiar. I remember, I just said that. So the Holy Spirit, he is there to be called upon. And the more we learn to be guided by the Spirit, the more familiar he becomes to us, speaking to our hearts often before we think. If you need prayer and you're struggling in that area, and I know it is a genuine struggle for some people, and they ask, where is the relevance of God? Where is the Holy Spirit in my life? And in my journey, I've met a lot of people that have asked me that question. And I've always shared with them and said, he's still there. He's still there. And I've prayed with them. And as they've continued to journey on in faith in the Lord. So I'm happy too, if you need prayer, I'm happy for you to come to me. And we'll pray together on that ground. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you lead us. God, we often refer to you, refer to the Holy Spirit guiding us, leading us as our advocate. Even in our hymns we sing about the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father God, I pray for all of us and for myself that, Lord, as we journey in our faith with you, that the Holy Spirit become more relevant in our lives. And who he is in our lives. That the person of the Holy Spirit become like a friend guiding and leading and teaching us in today's world. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.